Thanks for listening to the Vertical Student Ministries podcast. We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you hear.
Hey, everybody. We are glad you are back with us on the Vertical Leadership Podcast. I've got a special guest with you, a guy all the way from Jersey out here representing Jersey. Matt, how you doing, man?
Phenomenal today, bro.
Dude, it's so good to hear from you, man. I miss you. We gotta connect soon again when we get down to Atlanta.
For shizzle.
For sure. So let Matt, for those of you who don't know who you are, let them know who you are.
Yeah, Matt. My name's Matt, of course, and I'm a youth pastor in New Jersey. I have been at my home church for 30 years. I'll be 30 in 6 days. I'm also a volunteer police chaplain for my local police departments, Burlington and Florence Township. Coach soccer for the high school I graduated from. And I love the Lord, and I love student ministries. I eat, sleep, and breathe that stuff. And I love Reggie. Reggie is my boy. So that's what I love.
Appreciate it, man. There's so much love for you coming through this side of the phone. We got you. I'm just glad I get to see your face again, man. We're digitally conferencing, but you know, it's good. You know, I know you commented the other day, I'm not wearing glasses anymore.
Yeah, dude, I see that.
I've got vision now.
I'm wearing glasses a lot more, which is a bad thing.
Yeah.
My eyesight is getting worse.
Well, you're getting up there, man. You're getting up there. You're almost 30.
I don't know. 6 days.
6 days is crazy, man. So let me tell you, I know we talked about servant leadership, man. What
yep.
Servant leadership is what we're going to be talking about today. And just, man, I'm going to just let you have the floor, man. Like, how long? You said you've been at your church 30 years, dude. Like, that is a long time to be at a church. So
it's a long time, man.
It's a long time, but you gotta love a church when you're there that long. So
amen.
So hey, man, let's dive right into this. What do you mean when you say servant leadership?
So, kind of my perspective on it, and I love when people talk about servant leadership because you're never done learning how to serve. A lot of times especially when we're first starting out in ministry, we can think that we've achieved a title or a position and we're good, we're golden, like we've learned all there has to do or all that has to do with that position. And we stop serving in that position and we start leading. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And when I think of servant leadership, I think about the heart behind why you hold an office or a position or a title, and the constant, I would say, like, communion with the Holy Spirit and how to keep your pride in check.
Wow.
And I think that the difference between somebody who says, you know, I'm a leader or I'm a pastor or a person of influence, mm-hmm. and the person who says, like, I serve in this capacity is honestly pride. It's like, and you can have pride that's good. Like, I'm proud of, you know, the position I hold and all that's good. But I'm talking about, like, the pride that's bad.
The unhealthy stuff.
Anti-humility.
Yeah. I love it. I love it, man. And so I think, you know, because we hear that word all the time, right? Servant leadership. You know, you got to serve. But really diving into what it means, like, what does that look like? Like, what does servant leadership even look? How do we know if someone's a servant leader? Like, what is that? How is that modeled for us?
For sure. So it's going to look different in every context. Whether you're lay leadership in a church, whether you're a volunteer staff member, you're part-time paid, whether you're full-time paid, it's always going to look different in each context. But the one thing that every servant leader will have is they know that their own personal wants, agendas, are placed on the back burner in order to achieve a larger scale or, I would say, more important goal. And you lay down kind of the want to be the first man, A lot of people need to learn how to play second man. And that's not a glorious position, like the second man. Like, you're the runner, you're the gopher, you're the intern type.
The cupbearer,
you're the armor bearer, so to speak, right? Right. Nobody wants that because it's not a glorious position, but every leadership team needs people like that, as well as every leader needs to learn how to do that first, I think, before they move on to something that's a little more glorious. I guess that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it shows when you're a leader that is in that first chair, right? That first chair leader, if you've had second chair experience, right?
That's good stuff, man. I love that.
If you're if you're in that first chair and you don't have, because we've all been maybe been under a leader, or you've been around a leader who has been the leader for, it seems like, forever, right? And so they've kind of maybe lost touch, or they've forgotten, maybe they don't know simply what it's like to be a second chair leader, where I'm not the one making all the decisions, but yet I'm still in control of what I can be in control of. And so, and I'm going to serve to the capacity, because I think what's so interesting about a second chair leader, like you're talking about, or a second chair leader, is that I'm not really like serving my vision, right? I'm here to serve the main vision of the lead guy. And so as a servant leader, I've got to submit my vision, my authority, my ideas and wants and things like that to the overall vision of the organization, of the church, of the lead pastor, of the lead person in that organization, because ultimately they're the ones that have that mantle on them of leading this organization. Right. So if I can't submit to that as a leader, it'll show when you get to first chair leadership how you responded in that second chair.
That's awesome, man. I'm actually in the middle of rereading a book I had read in college. It's called God's Armor Bearer. And we're actually going through that with our interns this summer. And
who's that by?
Terry Nance. Yep. Or Terry Nance, I'm sorry. And he has a couple different volumes, and he's like newly revised it and expanded it.
Awesome.
We're going through volumes 1 and 2 right now with our interns. And do you mind if I read something out of it really quick?
No, dude, hit it up, man. I love it. We'll put this in, we'll tag this in the description, the show notes or whatnot.
So. Absolutely. He says this, and again, he's got a ton of experience. He's got like 35 plus years of experience, and he writes this kind of about the tension that he had with his senior pastor, but learning to serve underneath him. And he says this: you and I will never flow in the anointing of Elisha until we have learned to serve and Elijah.
Wow.
Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man may lay down his life for his friends. That's John 15:13. And then it says, it is not difficult to claim that we are submitted to Jesus. But the question is, are we submitted to another human being? That is a different story.
Wow.
So he writes the book from that perspective, and he battled with it. He struggled with it. He overcame it, praise God. But man, it's so important to understand that first chair, second chair role. And it's not that you respect the person above you, like you have to wait on them hand and foot, like you got to tie their shoes, you got to like, wipe the drool off your mouth. It's not like a lowering of yourself that way.
It's not a slavery mentality.
For the position, respect for the position, the authority and anointing that flows down.
Wow, I love it. I love it. I love that Elijah analogy, man. Like, you can't be Elisha until you can learn how to serve an Elijah. Wow. That's deep.
Dude, that's tough. That is so tough. And so I've been at my church for 30 years. And, my dad has been at the church longer than I have. He's been the second man for 47 years.
Wow. Plus. Wow. Say that one more time. He's been the number two guy for 47 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is. It's insane to think about that. There was no itch to become the number one. There was no struggle or fight to take that place or that seat. He just learned to serve out of a place of humility and understanding that everything that he was given was God-given. Mm-hmm. And he just led like full of confidence in that calling. And dude, he plays second man. So he is the pastor that every pastor would want on his team because he's so good with people. When the number one man, has sometimes a way of words that can offend somebody or, abrase people. He's the guy that will come and hug you and coddle you and kind of walk you through that. So he's awesome, man. And he's been my role model for as long as I've been alive. And I've just learned to want to be like that, to learn to serve with a gracious heart, full of humility, and to try to keep my pride in check.
Wow. I love it, man. I love it. And, like you said, I love you said that everyone needs someone like that on their team. Everyone. Team needs someone that knows how to serve in that capacity. And I love it because it's almost like that, I know I'm Robin and I'm okay with being Robin. It's that self-confidence. It's that confidence in knowing that I'm going to serve at whatever capacity I serve at. That's something that's so unique and so genuine and so unheard of in this generation, man.
It really is. And I think one of the reasons why is because we have so many high-end Christian role models.
Yeah.
That everybody ascribes to be like the public speaker that Judah Smith is, or Rich Wilkerson Jr., Chad Veach. We want to be like these guys.
And they're great guys. They're great guys.
They're awesome. Like, these are my role models in the faith.
Yeah.
But in reality, the body of Christ is called a body for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys are just the mouthpieces.
Yeah.
Like, what about the hands? What about the fingers?
Mm-hmm.
What about the eyes and the ears and the ones that do the work? A lot of times the pastor is really just the talking figurehead, and it's the support staff underneath him that achieve the vision. So we got to realize that the mouth is just another body part. Mm-hmm. It is obviously placed on the head for a reason. God was so strategic in using the body analogy for talking about the body of, or the
church,
the bride of Christ.
Yeah,
the church. So strategic.
So great, man. And I love that you said that. A lot of times we don't see role models as people who want to be a second chairperson, I think culture has kind of slipped into the church a little bit. Culture is seeped in because everything in culture says, if you're not first, you're last. If you're not the top dog, we got to be striving, career jumping. You want to move ahead, you get this job and then you get a better paying job and then you get a better paying job and you move up in the organization. Like, that's what's expected in the business world, right? But for whatever reason, we've allowed that to slip into the church world. And because of that, sometimes I believe we have people that were meant to be a number two leader in a number one position. And now there's mishaps. There's not, there's things that are getting forgotten or mishandled and things like that, because there's a special anointing that's on a first chair, and there's a special unique anointing that's on a second chair as well. They're both unique and different, and they both serve their purpose. Neither one is better than the other. They just serve different purposes.
That's 100% true, and it's cool that and if you're listening to the podcast right now and you're thinking like maybe all this is rehearsed, it's really not.
It's really not.
It's really not at all. But this first chair, second chair thing is definitely intriguing to me, and I'm just thinking
so intriguing. I love it.
There's the word armor bearer in the Old Testament, you know, it came out of the Old Testament, really that Saul and David relationship. David was Saul's armor bearer. If you take the Hebrew word, and of course we're going a little deeper here, but I think it's important that we go deep, because the well of servant leadership is deep, and it needs to run deep. Because if it's shallow, man, and you pull from that well a few times, you're going to come up real dry.
Wow. Tell them.
So it comes from two words, and the first is like nasal, and the primary like word meaning to that is to lift. And you know, or to hold up. So like when you're an armor bearer, when you're a second chair person, like your primary job is to lift or to hold up or to literally support that person above you. And again, it's not glorious. It's the dirty jobs. It's the menial jobs, if that makes sense. The non-limelight jobs.
Right.
But these are the jobs that are so important, because without these jobs getting done, you know, our services can't run, our ministries can't function on a day-to-day basis. So we need more armor bearers and, you know, less kings at the top.
Yeah. Well, I hear this analogy, you know, growing up, you said we got a lot of chiefs and not a lot of Indians, you know.
No, yeah.
There's a lot of people that want to be top dog, but there's nobody following them, you know. So that's great, man. So before we wrap this podcast up, do you have maybe some characteristics of what it looks like to be a servant leader?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to pull these straight out of the God's Armor Bearer too, just because it's so relevant and so good. And again, these are things that that Terry Nance calls like the functions of an armor bearer. So okay. You can just say like the functions of a servant leader. Number one, must provide strength for his leader. Got to provide strength, man. Number two, must have a deep down sense of respect for their leader and acceptance for and tolerance of their leader's personality and their way of doing things.
Wow.
That's
a mouthful. Super hard. Say that one more time.
Yeah. So number two, must have a deep down sense of respect for his leader and acceptance for and tolerance of his leader's personality and his way of doing things.
Wow. Elaborate on that for me a little bit. What is that? What is that even? I mean, a respect and acceptance and a tolerance.
So, you might be in a position where your leader and you just don't really jive on a personal level. But if the end goal is that God's kingdom is getting advanced, what does it really matter whose way or approach to ministry?
Wow.
You know,
we have,
what does it matter? Whose gets accomplished? Yeah.
We have a little saying around.
Whose gets picked?
Exactly. We joke, a lot of things I think in ministry sometimes are personal preference, and we look at them as law, you know? We get legalistical in our method instead of our message. you know, and if we're not careful, we can begin to think that the method is just as important or more important than the message that we're trying to share. And
right.
And that's something that's always said around here. Our pastor says that so often, that we can't be so tied to the method of what we do that it becomes glued to the message, that the only way we can get the message out is if we use this method. When in actuality, the method has always been changing. The method is always going to change. As long as the message gets through properly, that's what's important.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. I love it, man.
I'll share like one or two more. There's like, he has like 11, I think, functions here, but I'll just share like two or three more. Number three, must instinctively understand his leader's thoughts. This is great when a leader gives trust to his second man or his second chair, because you become like an extension of his or her ministry. And you're going to be making some decisions and in front of leaders and parents and other support staff that you're going to have to act on behalf of your leader, and the leader above you has placed a lot of trust in you to do that. So you got to understand what they want even before they voice it.
Wow. Yeah. That's good.
Yep. And here's one is really tough. And this is, they must have a disposition to win or to gain victories for their leader.
Win for your leader. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. You make the wins. You go. That other people will come around and say, like, do you agree with what Pastor Matt did or with what Pastor Reggie did? And you're going to have a chance right there to either break trust and relationship for your leader above you.
Wow.
My pastor's name is Russ, and he's an awesome man of God. And technically, he's the new kid on the block because he's only been here for 6 months compared to the other staff pastors who are here for, like, myself. I've been here literally since conception.
yeah.
My dad, for 45-plus years, our other staff pastor, Billy Rhodes, who's been here for, like, 20 years. So, Pastor Russ is the new guy. So people will come around like, hey, do you really like how Pastor Russ is doing this? And I'm saying, yeah, I do like it. And one of the reasons why I do like it is because I trust him.
Yeah.
And if there is an area that I would disagree with, I would never voice that downwards. No. You don't complain downwards. You don't vent downwards.
Wow.
You never take an issue that you're dealing with and vent downwards, because God has placed an anointing and an understanding on higher level leadership to handle those issues. So whenever you have an issue, you always vent upwards. You know, take that to the top.
Wow. Wow. Steam rises to the top. I like it, man.
Come on, bro.
Dude.
Shungai. Come on.
Hey, man. I appreciate you, dude. Thank you so much for being on the podcast with us and just dropping some gems out here, man. Dropping some gems.
Dude, you know I got mad love for you. And to whoever's listened to the podcast, I'm telling you, Reggie is one of a kind leader, and you are blessed. You are blessed to have him. That's for sure.
Dude, I appreciate it, man. Hey, thank you so much for joining us, dude. Hey, if you haven't shared this on your social media page, if you're not liking us already, make sure to click subscribe, like us, share it with your friends. We love to have you guys listening to us. Thanks so much for being with us, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks again for taking time to grow as leaders. We are looking forward as we continue to build our culture in student ministries.